And now, Lord, bless me and use me in spite of me to be a blessing as we look at this beautiful subject that you gave, that you're giving to us today. And that is, what has Jesus done for you? So send the Spirit and get rid of Satan and allow us to be calm and peaceful and attentive to learn and reach the manna that you have from heaven for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to show you my nephew. Oh, they're expecting me. I keep forgetting I got this thing, don't I? I want you to see Marcelo Vasquez. No, Velasquez. That's Jenny's maiden name. That's Jenny's sister's son. He's 26, 7 years old. Maybe he's watching online right now. I hope so. And on Thursday, Marcelo had surgery for cancer. And we're told that he came through the surgery very well. And we prayed on Wednesday for him. And of course, the family prayed on Thursday. And when I got Marcelo on the phone just before surgery on Thursday. Jenny, was it Thursday or Friday? Thursday. Thank you. I said to Marcelo, Marcelo, it doesn't matter if you're good or bad, but if you call out to Jesus, He'll answer you. Was I right? I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Mark the 10th chapter, and let's look at this concept. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. When you call out to Jesus, He will answer you. Mark the 10th chapter, verse 46. What has Jesus done for you? I want the children to take their Bibles and turn to Mark 10, 46. And let's listen to this beautiful story and see what God has for us today. And by the way, Isaac Brooks, he read the scripture reading. Isaac, you did a great job. Wherever you are, Isaac. Oh, somewhere over here. Oh, there he is. Isaac, you did a great job. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word, right? All right, let's read the Word. Here we go. Verse 46. Now, they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with His disciples in a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, arise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Wow, what a story that is. Isn't that tremendous? And so Jesus is leaving Jericho. And by the way, don't get shook up, because if you read it in Matthew, he is entering Jericho. Or is it Luke, he's entering Jericho, and Mark, he's leaving. And in Matthew, there's two blind people. And in Mark and Luke, there's one one blind person. But you want to know what? The story is all the same. The details are mixed up. Who can stand next to your friend, observe a crash, and then agree totally on all the details? Right? But you saw a crash. So here we have blind Bartimaeus sitting by the road. And this is an amazing story to me. And I want it to change your life the way it changed mine when I looked at this more intently. And the first point that I want to make is this. Notice it says again in 46, "Then they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the road, and he started to scream." And then it says in verse 49, "So Jesus stood still." In plain English, Jesus stopped. Now, my friends, this man is more important and busy than the President of the United States. And the voice of some strange individual off in the periphery of the huge multitude is screaming at the top of his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Now, there's been occasions when weird things have happened that I kept walking only faster than I was when I started. But not Jesus. He stopped. He stood still. And I want you to know that in the spirit of prophecy, it tells us that blind Bartimaeus sat in his condition for a long time, waiting and hoping for the moment that Jesus might pass by. In fact, I want you to see what Luke 18 says. Turn to Luke 18. Look at what it says, the same story, Luke 18. You'll find it in verse 35. And look at one little nuance that helps highlight this. "Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho." See, here in Luke, he's entering Jericho. "A certain blind man stood by the road begging, and hearing the multitude passing by, he asked what it meant." And I can see him. I remember once being a pastor for a blind camp. And they would sit there in their pews, and when we sang a song, they would sing. And then they would clap. And I thought, why don't us with eyes be so enthusiastic of those who can't see? And he's sitting there, and he picks up something different. He's been there day in, day out. Wait a minute, there's a noise. Mister, what's going on? "Don't touch me. Don't you know that Jesus is here?" "Jesus? Oh, I've been waiting. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet, you dumb beggar. He doesn't have time for you. You keep your mouth shut. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And suddenly there's a hush. You see, because Jesus stopped. And everybody's watching to see what Jesus is going to do. He comes totally still whenever we cry out to Him from a sincere heart. Especially when we're in crisis, when we're in trouble, when we're in stress, when we're in pressure, when we cry out, Jesus stops everything that He's doing. And if that wasn't enough, then notice this. Number two, Jesus said, "Bring him here." Look what it says here. Where are you? Are you in Mark or Luke? Luke? Well, then I better go back to Luke. I went back to Mark. It says, so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And that's why he cried out so loud. And that's why when they told him to be quiet, he cried out all the louder. By the way, I forgot to tell you, remember, these people telling him to be quiet are the ones that pay his way. Right? For he begs on that roadside every day from these same people. But he doesn't listen. And then it says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Now I went back to Mark. And the next amazing thing, bring him here. Now friends, how are we to understand this in light of the fact that Jesus could have just made his way to him? Jesus was sighted, and so he could coordinate his eyes and ears and knew the direction from which the voice was coming. Remember, the poor blind man was crying out because he didn't know if Jesus was over there. He didn't know if Jesus was right there. Or he didn't know if Jesus was over there. All he knew is it was Jesus. My time and chance has come now. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Because you see, all of us need someone to assist us to Jesus, folks. You know, we're running evangelistic meetings here. God is blessing tremendously. But we need to bring the people here. And we got a lot of people that came from the invitations in the mail. But the best ones are when people ask their friends to come. Jesus said, bring them here to me. I want you to assist in this process. Not only that, when you bring them here to me, you'll be more attentive once you get here, and you might catch what's going on. So this story changed my life when I realized that when you cry out, Jesus stops. And that He'll even tell someone to bring me to Him, or you bring that person to Him. But what happens next is even more incredible. Look what it says in Mark. In verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, arise, he is calling. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Why did this change my life? Every time you pray, Jesus is there saying, what do you want me to do for you? And I realized that if I could conceptualize that in my mind every time I prayed, and verbalized that question out loud, it spurred on my prayers to be more exact and specific. He's asking me, He's asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Now friends, I've used this illustration till it's worn out, threadbare, no good. Broken like an old wineskin. But has the President of the United States ever asked you what he can do for you? Has the governor of this state ever asked you what he can do for you? You know, I go to ministers' meetings hosted by the mayor, in which I'm invited and wined and dined with, by the way, water and fruit because it's breakfast. And I've yet to have a chance yet to even touch the hem of her dress. She rushes in with a group and speaks to us, and then she rushes out. Jesus stops. He says, "Bring them to me. I want full attention. I don't want any interference from the crowd." And then when I come, he says, "What would you have me do for you?" And when we begin to be honest with him, he will do it. He'll do it. When I came to this understanding, I want you to know that this story really changed my life. And by the way, you know I always hand out that bookmark that has the picture of a family on earth praying and their smoke rises up where Jesus is standing before the ark. And I give that out because I want everybody to visualize that when you kneel in prayer, your prayer is ascending up to the heights that we don't even know how far it is, but right to where Jesus is. And now you know that when you do that, he is looking down saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And when we answer him, he'll either correct it, or he'll accept it and answer it, or put in motion the answer when the right time comes. Friends, is your life a mess? By the way, I hope it is. Those that believe their life is a mess are the ones that cry out the loudest for Jesus. And we're told in Steps to Christ, the closer we come to Christ, the more horrible we look in our own eyes. And that causes us to cry out in desperation and ask the question from now on, or answer God's question from now on, "What would you have me do for you?" Now, I just want to throw this out for those of you that like to think more than I do. Well, I mean, I like to think, but think better than I do. Did you ever wonder, in reading this story, if blind Bartimaeus asked for the right thing? Do you remember when the paralytic was lowered to Jesus from the roof? I always wonder the audacity of those four friends to go onto somebody's roof and take it apart. And they let the man down and Jesus looks at him, and here are all the religious leaders so crowded in the room that all the peasant people are on the outside. They can't get in. And so they take the roof apart, they lower him down, Jesus looks at him, and he says, I mean, come on, why is he there? What did his friends want him? To be healed. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." This is funny, folks. This is funny. I'm reading Desire of Ages. I read that and I'm going, huh? Your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and Pharisees are going, huh? How dare he blaspheme? But in Desire of Ages, it says the young man, or the man, leaned back on his bed, totally relieved, because that's what he needed more than anything else. And then when they begin to think in their mind, well, this man is blasphemed, Jesus looked at him and says, which is easier to say, or which is harder to do? Your sins are forgiven, or arise, take up your bed and walk. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on this earth, young man, arise, take up your bed and walk. And so I wonder, did blind Bartimaeus ask for the right thing? But Jesus gave him what he wanted. Why? Because it was a fair request. I want my sight. He gave him his sight. But the interesting thing is, then it says he followed him on the road. So we're presuming that now he got more than eyesight, he got spiritual sight. And folks, Jesus is thronged by a gigantic crowd, and no one in that crowd is being healed. Except for the one that in his desperation screamed out to God and then answered his question. Friends, I want you to have that kind of prayer life. I want you to practice this principle. And I want you to experience the answers to prayers that are appropriate and correct, and that He is willing and waiting for us to give. A platoon of 30 men were doing a training exercise in Southeast Asia. They were walking through a jungle at 3 a.m. in the morning, and it was thick with trees and covered with vines. On top of all of that, it was pitch black, not just dark. It was so black that they couldn't see their hand in front of their face. So they navigated through the thick foliage, walking single file. The scout at the front is the only one that had night vision equipment, so they picked their way out the easy route. Each person had put a piece of luminous tape attached to the back of their hat. So they just followed the bobbing tape in front of them so that they would not lose the trail in the pitch black, dark, and tangle. Unfortunately, the last person, due to sleep deprivation, following 30 men behind, slipped and fell unexpectedly. And by the time he could get up with all the weight from the pack he was carrying and in the wet dampness of the ground and got himself upright, he looked and he could no longer see the bobbing luminescent tape in front of him. In desperation, he got his bearing as best he could and he started his pace more rapidly, now heading in what he thought was the direction he was going. And all that happened was he was getting slapped by tree branches and brush and tripping on the vines and falling again until he suddenly realized he had no idea where he was and where his platoon was. He had no torch. He had no radio to assist him. He couldn't see his map or his surroundings. He had nothing but tangles to get out of this mess. He had nothing tangible to help him get out of this mess. And everything he tried was futile. He was scared, frustrated, and lost. But as he sat in the darkness pondering his fate, something came along that saved him. You know what that was? As time passed, the sun slowly came up over the horizon. Its light pierced through the foliage, which allowed him to see his map and his compass and orient himself with landmarks. He made his way back to his platoon. It was only when he could see that he could find his directions. And wouldn't it be fantastic if someone had come along in our lives that enables us to journey through life seeing clearly? And that person is Jesus Christ. Friends, the question in the sermon today was not what do you want me to do for you, but what has God done for you? And if you don't have an answer, if you pondered this title and thought, I'm not sure what God has done for me, let me suggest to you, perhaps you've never realized that He's been saying, what do you want me to do for you? Father, I want to thank You for this moment. I want to thank You that we clearly see a Jesus that we didn't know existed or we weren't sure about. That whenever we call to You, no matter if we're good or bad, You stop. You often ask others to bring us to You. And when we get there, You look us in the eye and say, what do You want me to do for You? And what a moment that is, Lord. And I wonder how many times I've answered that question wrong, but I answered it. And every time, Lord, You responded. And so I pray that everyone from now on hear that voice in their ear say, what do You want me to do for You? I want my nephew to hear that voice. As he cried out to You and I cried out to You and his family cried out to You, our church cried out to You in behalf of his surgery. And Lord, You answered. Forgive us for our lazy lethargy, for our spiritual dimness. Wake us to see Your beauty and willingness to assist us more fully. May each person experience this from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.